Welcome back, as always, to our Closing the Gap house calls with myself, Dr. Hilary Van Horn-Gatlin, your moderator for tonight's house call. Also joining me is the wonderful Dr. Leon Williams from Adult and Family Medicine, and we have a few new guests for those of you joining tonight, particularly if you haven't been part of these Closing the Gap house calls before. With us tonight, we have Dr. Maria Wright from Pediatrics, a wonderful pediatrician here at South Sacramento, and Joel Boyd, a respiratory therapist here at South Sac. As always, I'm so glad you're taking the time for yourself, your family, and the community on an issue that hits African Americans harder and more seriously than most people realize, around asthma and allergies of all things. Now, this was particularly surprising to me, and the timing of this is so important because spring is around the corner, if not here already. And I hope you decide to continue listening, as these issues can be challenging. Even if you don't realize you have symptoms, this can affect your family members, people in your community, and it's really important to get a better sense as to how much any of us know about these conditions. So, for those of you joining us right now, I want to start with a poll question for our listeners tonight. So we're going to start with our first poll. So again, if you're joining us for the first time, I'm going to ask you to press 1 for true, 2 for false. So true or false? If I have asthma, I will also experience allergies. 1 for true, 2 for false. And right now we've got 100 people responding. So, okay, so 1 for true, 2 for false. If I have asthma, I will also experience allergies. The majority of our patients at 58% said true. So we're going to talk about this a little bit. So joining us tonight, Dr. Leon Williams from Adult and Family Medicine, and our new guest, Dr. Maria Wright from Pediatrics, and Joel Boyd, one of our respiratory therapists. So I have to ask you guys, is this true?
No, not true.
While many people have asthma and allergies, many others only have allergies, and some only have asthma.
Okay, so you can have asthma, you can have allergies, or you can have both of them.
Correct.
Okay, all right. So, you know, I know that this is really confusing, and a lot of times I've noticed, especially this time of year, our emergency departments tend to be overflowing with a lot of these issues and a lot of these conditions, and it tends to be one of those things that we kind of link together. So I was really surprised by some of the statistics surrounding asthma in particular as being an identified gap in the African American community across age groups. Specifically, for those of you listening on the phone, when we talk about what this gap means in the African American community, especially thinking about it here in Sacramento, where I would like to say I feel like we have pretty bad asthma and allergies. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay, so we got it rough already. Specifically, listen to this. Children are 4 times more likely to have a hospital admission. And in one 2014 article, they found that African Americans were 3 times more likely to die from asthma. Additionally, African Americans are 20% more likely to have asthma, and their children have twice the rate of emergency visits compared to adults for asthma. Another important fact is that there's a significant gap, so there's a difference in the percentages of African Americans taking their daily medications compared to other groups. And this is even in our community. When I pulled the data about South Sacramento, so about those of you, your family members, your community, on the phone, we found that just locally in South Sacramento, there's a 10% gap in just refilling those asthma medications. And so I think this is a really important and timely topic for all of us to really start looking at and thinking about, how do we close that gap? How do we own it as an organization, as your medical providers? How do we support those of you listening on the phone?
Exactly. And again, none of this information is ever being used to scare anybody intentionally or feel like we're up against something impossible. Education, knowledge, awareness of where these gaps are and therefore where our attention needs to be lie or go is very important. And this is what we're trying to talk about tonight.
That's right. And I think one of the things, Dr. Williams, if I'm correct, is that you all will be running a group visit similar to what we've had in previous house calls just around asthma in the African American community. And I think that's March 10th. Is that correct?
Correct.
Excellent. So for those of you listening, if you haven't been part of a group visit, this is an incredible experience for, I think, Kaiser to really partner with the community at large. You don't even have to be a member. Come, really, you know, bring your family, bring the people around you, because we're talking about how do we close these gaps. And so On March 10th, we'll be having a group visit on asthma. And so Dr. Wright will be there, I believe.
Actually, I won't be there.
Okay. Well, I have to ask you. So who's representing pediatrics?
Actually,
I
have a representative.
I will be representing pediatrics because I'm a family medicine.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so Dr. Williams will be there representing pediatrics and adult medicine on March 10th. If you're interested in joining, it will be from 5:30 to 7 o'clock in South Sacramento. If you want to come, press 7. So all you have to do is press 7. We will get your information and get it out to you later on so that you know exactly where to go to see the fabulous Dr. Williams, talking more about asthma.
It's a very fun time, interactive. You can ask questions that you probably will not be able to ask your provider in the time frame that you have, and we will probably be giving out some goodies.
Ooh, some goodies. Okay. Now, throughout the call tonight, we're going to be taking live questions and answers, so you can ask our respiratory therapist, Joel Boyd. You can talk to Dr. Wright, our pediatrician, or Dr. Williams, our adult and family medicine provider, your questions. If you want to ask a question, press 0 at any time, and we will answer your questions live as time permits. And I always try to make a point of asking really common questions. And for those of you who are just picking up the phone and joining us, again, we're here tonight to talk about these gaps, these differences, especially for our African-American patients around asthma. The statistics are kind of scary, and so I really want to talk a little bit more about this. So last year in 2019, we asked you, what do you want to talk about, and what are the gaps we want to talk about? And one of the things addressed was around asthma and allergies. And so we want to start thinking about this really and just start with that foundational information. So, and it's necessary, it's important to know, and it's safe to say a lot of people listening right now are familiar with the symptoms and the misery of asthma and allergies, especially allergies this time of year, whether it's yourself, a family member, a friend, but a lot of us aren't familiar with the triggers, and what I mean by a trigger is the things that make it happen, make it worse. So I want to start by asking our guest experts, what do we need to know that a lot of your patients don't know?
So common triggers include seasonal pollen, which is what we see this time of year.
What do you mean by pollen?
Meaning really looking at trees, looking at the flowers, looking at...
So all the pretty things.
All the pretty things with colors around us.
Okay.
Yes. So respiratory viruses like the flu, we are in flu season, like a cold, pet dander, dust mite, mold, cockroaches, secondhand smoking, air pollution, and even exercise.
So just a lot of this stuff that's in the air around us.
Yes.
Especially it sounds like during the spring, it's just worse.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's important to know that asthma and allergies are related, but they're not the same thing. An allergy is a reaction to a substance that is usually harmless. These substances can be inhaled, injected, swallowed, or even touched.
Mm-hmm.
A person that comes into an exposure with an allergy may have irritation or swelling in a specific part of the body, such as the nose, the eyes, the lungs, or the skin.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, an allergic reaction to the skin would be considered eczema or an itchy rash. An allergic reaction in the nose, we would call that rhinitis or allergic sinusitis. And a reaction in the lungs may manifest itself as asthma. And although a lot of these antigens are triggers of asthma, like the dust mites, the pollen, the mold, the dander, many experience asthma symptoms with non-allergic triggers such as smoke, cold air, intense emotions, or even exercise.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting thinking about this. When I first moved to Sacramento, I am an asthmatic. I will be the first person to say that. And I always say I'm a recovering asthmatic because I'm working on being better about my medications. But moving to Sacramento was painful for me, and it wasn't the first year. It was years 2 and 3. I didn't even think I had allergies, and all of a sudden, I had horrible asthma for the first time probably in 20 or more years, and I'm only 22 years old, so. So I think it is interesting. So there's the allergy piece, and my understanding is that the allergies, if you have asthma, can make your asthma worse.
Correct. So then what is asthma? Asthma is a chronic or long-term disease of the airways, so the tubes that carry air to our lungs. It causes inflammation and a hyper-responsive reaction.
What do you mean by hyper-responsive?
And a mute, a very fast. So
immediate. Okay.
Immediate response that narrows the bronchioles and therefore airflow and limitation. The airways are the lungs, which are surrounded by muscle and contain mucus glands. These muscles normally are relaxed, but if you have asthma, what happens is they become very sensitive and inflamed. And when people come into contact with the triggers that we mentioned earlier,
like allergies,
like allergies, so the smoke, the cold air, the pet dander, the mold,
or even like Dr. Wright was saying, these like respiratory viruses,
these muscles tend to tighten up, thus decreasing the size of the airways, swelling, causing mucus to come into the sacs, thus making breathing very difficult, leading to the asthma symptoms and often an asthma attack.
Got it. Okay. So, you know, for those of you listening at home, I would love to get some feedback from you on who's in my camp and who's not. So I have a question for you about asthma and allergies. So press 1 if you or someone in your immediate family has asthma, 2 if someone in your immediate family or you has allergies, or 3 if you or someone in your immediate family have both asthma and allergies. So press 3 if you're like me, 1 if it's just asthma, and 2 if it's allergies. I'm curious how many people are really experiencing this. Wow, so almost 50% of those of you answering on the phone right now said that you or someone in your immediate family have both asthma and allergies. Is that a pretty common response?
Yes, it is.
Got it. Okay. So, you know, and again, we're going to be asking, answering some questions live. So go ahead and press 0 at any time if you want to ask a question of our guest experts, and press 7 if you are interested in going to that March 10th group visit. So given what our patients listening right now are telling us, and that 50% of people are having both the allergies and the asthma, and that we have another 25% of patients that are saying that it's just asthma, which just asthma alone is miserable as it is, what is really important for our patients in the African American community to know that might help us work together to close this gap? You know, so 75% of those of you listening right now are experiencing both or asthma. What do we need to do, guys?
Well, I think the beginning is understanding your condition, understanding what asthma is, why do you get it, how do we control it. I think understanding and understanding even why, how you treat it, that's where we start. I think a lot of times that is missed,
mm-hmm.
that part of the story. And so then we just jump to, let's just fix the problem. But if we don't understand why we're getting it, what's happening, how we can prevent it, then it's just a vicious cycle.
So prevention is a big part of it. It's not just making it go away.
Because it Correct. Keeps coming back.
Chronic. Okay.
Once you have asthma, you always have asthma.
And having a detailed care plan is what will help you to be able to have less frequent asthma attacks, so have an asthma care plan.
So, I mean, you're a respiratory therapist. What do you mean by a detailed care plan? What does that look like?
So a detailed care plan is a care plan that the patient can develop with their primary care physician. It talks about their medication regimens, the medications they should be taking for preventative medication, and then just a routine. When you have this chronic disease, it's something that you have to manage. So it has to be something that you do on a routine basis. As far as taking your preventative medications, taking your rescue medications when you need it, and have frequent check-ins with your primary care physician about your condition.
Right. So it sounds like, let's say, hypothetically speaking, of course, you end up getting a respiratory infection. Just trying to all of a sudden take all of your asthma medications may not be as useful as taking all those asthma medications before you get the infection.
Correct.
Got it. Okay. So this is bad news for me, folks. I want to ask, we talk about 75% of people listening are saying asthma and allergies, or I have asthma. How many of you on the phone are taking medications for asthma and allergies? So if you or someone you know has asthma or allergies and takes any medication for it, I want to talk about confidence and understanding about what those medications are, why they're prescribed, and when and how to use them. So press 1 if you are not confident about what the different medications, especially for asthma, like things like inhalers are, and how to use them. Press 2 if you're somewhat confident about what those different medications are and how to use them. Press 3 if you're confident about the different inhalers and medications and how to use them. And press 4 if you're very confident. You're an expert at this, okay? So 1 if you're not confident at all about what's being prescribed to you for your asthma and allergies and why. 2 if you're somewhat confident. 3 if you're confident, and 4 if you're very confident. So I'm going to ask my physician colleagues and my respiratory therapist, what percentage of patients do you think is, what do you think the people are going to say?
If they're honest, probably not. Because, I mean, there's that, right? There's that. We have to be honest. I mean, a lot of times we're not confident. We don't know what we're taking for what.
Right. Yeah.
That's true.
That's true. So here's the gist of it. So of those of you answering it, almost 30% of you said you're not confident about what the different medications are and how to use them. Another 31% of you said you're somewhat confident. 30% of you said, I'm confident, and we have 10% on our expert panel. So taking that into account, I mean, let's talk about this, because this is part of that gap. And, I mean, we talk about, again, just locally in our community, we've got this 10% gap in just ordering those medications and picking them up. And like you said, the first piece of this is understanding the what and the why so we can prevent. So we can't stop the increased death rate. We can't stop the increased emergency visit rates. We can't stop all of these really bad things until we start with the medication.
I think a lot of it comes back to education, like our esteemed colleague told us, because there's a lot of myths out there. Asthma's all in your head. People outgrow asthma. Nobody dies from asthma. People who have asthma should not exercise. People who have asthma should not get the flu shot.
Oh, yeah, I heard that one this year. Yes.
You only need to take your asthma medication if you're having symptoms.
Guilty.
Allergies do not cause asthma symptoms. So I think a lot of it has to do with education.
Right. Well, and I think about myself and my own asthma. I have 2 inhalers. One of them I take as needed, and one of them I'm supposed to take every single day. And this is a place that I really struggle. And what do we mean by as needed? And, you know, and how do I stay on top of that, honestly?
I think there's also even the misconception as what does as needed mean?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because even a cough, in general, I tell my patients, we should not be coughing. And when I mean coughing, even just for a cold, if you are coughing consistently, there's a reason for it. For asthmatics, you have a chronic cough. It's the new normal for you, and that should not be. Our goal is for you to stop coughing, period. So even if it's a mild cough here and there, it's a cough, it needs to be addressed.
Interesting. Okay. And let's talk about these medications. So my understanding is that the medication, the prevention medication for asthma is especially important.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a place where that's the biggest gap, is my understanding, in the African-American community.
Yes.
Help me understand what that is and help those people listening on the phone right now who, you know, are in the same boat as me figure, like, what do we need to know so we can close this?
Yeah, so the way I like to explain it, it's kind of like when you have the inflammation, when you have the trigger.
The swelling. Okay.
It's like having a small fire in a waste basket,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And so when you're just having that cough, that mild cough, the inflammation starts a little bit at a time and slowly starts to build up.
Okay.
So imagine you have a small fire in a waste basket, you add water to it, and it stops. That's what your preventive medication will do. Most of the time what happens is we let that fire build up, so then it's no longer in a waste basket, it's in the whole room. And then you've got to call the fire engine and all that. And that's where prednisone and all the big guns come in.
Right.
And at that point, you don't have the choice but to use the stronger medication, this medication that we worry about, the prednisone, which a lot of people are worried about. And so if we can hit the fire when it's just at the level of a wastebasket, then we don't have to use all the big guns.
And so the medication that we want to take, though, when we've got that minor cough,
mm-hmm.
is that albuterol? They call it a rescue inhaler. Is that the one you're talking about?
At that point, you're actually, because you only have a mild cough, at that point you're using your preventative.
Ah.
Yeah. So imagine that when everything is, the fire's all over the room, you're having difficulty breathing, everything's out of control, you're having shortness of breath, which is the indication for the albuterol. Severe cough, shortness of breath, respiratory distress. It's not for a mild cough, no. That's when you're using your preventative.
Okay, got it. So the rescue inhaler is the big gun, you're saying.
Yep. So the preventative medication prevents the big fire from spreading.
Got it.
So if you've got the waste, I like the wastebasket analogy. If you've got the wastebasket, you've got the fire in there, you continue to use your preventative medication, it continues to put the fire out. If you don't, what happens is the flames continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And all you're doing is putting that little bit of water, which is going to be your little rescue inhaler,
right,
onto the big fire, and then it continues to grow.
Right. So it's that other inhaler. It's that preventative inhaler.
One that you use every day that decreases the inflammation.
Yeah.
That is what is crucial in preventing the long-term complications, the remodeling of the lungs and,
mm-hmm,
and the exacerbations of the asthma attacks.
Right. Okay. Now, Joel, you're a respiratory therapist, mm-hmm, so you see the big, bad, and the ugly, I'm assuming.
Yes.
When it's gone too far.
Yes.
And people are ending up in the emergency room,
yes,
they're ending up hospitalized. Anything else that you would really add in terms of the confidence and what things are? I mean, what would you want people to know so they don't ever have to meet you?
Yeah, the best thing, again, is to use the preventative medication. A lot of times people don't use the preventative medication because they're feeling fine. They're feeling good. They may not have a cough. But asthma is a chronic disease that you need to control. So making sure that you believe in the usefulness of this preventative medication, because that's going to, as an analogy we use, is going to prevent that fire from getting larger. What I see a lot of time is that people are not using the preventative medication, or they have lost their fast-acting inhaler, and now they don't have the big guns, and then they start using the preventative medication when they're in an exacerbated state. So they're using the wrong medication at the wrong time. So that's what I see a lot of when they come into the emergency department, is that, one, they have not been using their preventative medication. Two, they've lost their big guns, their albuterol, and then they start using the wrong medication to help their exacerbated state.
And the key thing is, even a slight cough, at that point you have to start your medication. When things start to keep you, the cough keeps you up at night and you're waking up and gagging, that's a little late in
yeah.
the game.
So we would say that a person should be on a controller medication if they've got 2 days of symptoms per week. So if you're having asthma symptoms 2 days out of the week.
Even that little cough that Dr. Wright talked
cough,
about.
You need to be on a preventative or controller medication. If you're waking up 2 times per month at night because of some sort of asthma, like the cough or any kind of shortness of breath, you need to be on a preventative medication. If you have to go to the ER and need to be put on oral medications 2 times in a year, then you need to be put on preventative medications. If you have to refill your albuterol rescue inhaler more than 2 times a year, you need to be on some sort of control or preventative medication.
That's good to know. And you know, I have to say, for those of you listening at home, I have a fabulous primary care physician, Dr. Smith. And she recently, I'm not going to lie to you guys, she took both of my inhalers and she took a big black Sharpie and on my albuterol wrote rescue on it. So I would remember that that's the one that I should only be using in a rescue situation to kind of help make it a little bit more obvious. And so for those of you at home, don't in any way feel, I mean, this is confusing, you know, and I think it's one of those things where it's easy to forget, especially when we're feeling good.
Another thing is how to properly use your inhalers. Like, a lot of patients don't properly know how to use their inhalers.
Will you be spending some time during that group visit on talking about how to properly use that inhaler?
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Properly use the inhalers, properly use the peak flows, the spacers,
mm-hmm,
that often help out a lot.
And what are these spacers? Just really quickly, you know, I feel like back in the day, there were no such thing as spacers. And now all of a sudden, everybody just wants to talk about spacers. What is this?
You know, with the spacers, you know, what they help is help people be able to coordinate getting the medication into their lungs to where it works. Because we know that these inhalers, the mist comes out, you have to coordinate taking in a breath at the same time that the medication is coming out. The spacers, what they allow is for the medication to stay suspended in the air for a short period of time so that you can inhale the medication through the spacer, so you're not having the time actuating the puff and inhaling, because if you have the incorrect timing, the majority of the medication gets deposited on your tongue.
Right, so it gets in your lungs, not the tongue. Okay, lungs, not the tongue.
So the spacer helps to get it to the lungs.
Now, is the spacer something that you buy yourself, or is that something that, I mean, how does that work?
You can pick that up when you pick up your medication. So it does have to be prescribed.
Okay, so your doctor would prescribe it to you.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, all right, good to know. So So, you know, for those of you who were talking about this, you know, 10% gap, let's talk about what this looks like in South Sac. And I want you to really weigh in on this at home. So for this gap in care, for this 10% in South Sac alone, press 1 if the thing that's maybe keeping you or a loved one from taking that medication prescribed is because you feel like your doctor hasn't really explained the medication to you. And again, keep in mind, we give this feedback to the people that we work with so that we can do better. So all of your feedback, it really does go back to your doctor. Press 2 if the expense of the medication gets in the way of filling it. So 1 if it's that you feel like your doctor hasn't explained it to you. 2 if it's about money. 3 if you have the medication but you don't remember to take them. And 4 if you don't feel that you need them. So you haven't, I say, I'm not having asthma, I'm not having allergies. So again, 1 if you feel like your doctor hasn't explained it and that's been the gap for you. 2 if it's about the expense of the medication. 3 if you have them but don't remember them. And 4 if you feel that you don't need them. So the big response here, 50% of you said that you feel like the primary reason is because you feel like your doctor hasn't just explained taking the medication for you to you. And I want to thank you for answering that. I cannot tell you how important this is for us because this gives us the opportunity to go back and talk to our colleagues about where we need to put our time. You know, for our specialists listening, any, you know, brief things that you would say for, I think especially, you know, the 27% of patients who talk about the expense. And then we've got 23% who said that I have them, I just don't remember to take them.
So basically there are several challenges, real challenges, especially depending on the type of insurance that you have. Luckily for those who have Medi-Cal insurance, there is no issue with cost, but cost is a real thing for those who have other type of insurances. Albuterol typically is not a problem to...
And albuterol is that rescue medication.
Rescue medication. Pretty much no one has a problem picking that up. It's cheap, it's there. But the key one that we need is the one that for different type of insurances can cost more or less. And
so those preventative medications, and again, my understanding is that those are the ones that keep the little fire from becoming a big fire. Those are the things that keep us out of the emergency department.
Yes.
Those are the things that ideally protect our lungs during cold and flu season.
Yeah, that's the one that can be a challenge for certain people. It just can cost. And if you have 3 kids and yourself and all that, it adds up.
Right. So what do we do if that's the case? I mean, there's got to be something that we can talk about with that.
I know that the costs actually are getting better. They're improving. You can kind of talk to your primary care provider because there is oral medications that you can actually take.
We say oral, you mean not like a puffer, but
like a
pill?
Like a pill. Singulair is mm-hmm. one that we use if cost is a big issue, and that
okay.
helps with asthma.
Is that for pediatrics, too, or is
also,
that? Oh,
yes.
Okay, for both.
It
okay.
doesn't work for all kids, but it is an option, especially if cost is an issue. Again, it doesn't work for all kids or all patients. It's a conversation to have with your doctor to see if this is something you could try.
And I have to ask you guys both a question. I know a lot of our patients and my own patients would say that I'm really uncomfortable talking about money with my doctor. Are you guys used to having this conversation?
Yes.
No, yes. It's real. Yeah.
Okay.
And the reality is this. It is cheaper to pay for that inhaler than it is to go to the emergency department.
Yes. There's that, and also all the consequences of being admitted to the hospital, the fear of steroids. Really, if we use, because actually the inhaled steroids, the preventative medication, is actually a very small amount of steroid. So if you look at keeping your asthma under control, in the long run, you're using a much smaller amount than having to take your prednisone and the big guns every month.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to create more damage, you know, if you're worried about side effects, than really just investing at the beginning.
Okay. So you're saying it pays off.
Less ER visits, less hospital stays, less death.
Okay.
Less severity.
Now, for those of you listening at home, remember, on March 10th, we are going to be meeting and talking about this in person as a group visit. If you want to join, please come and meet our team. Press 7 now, and we will send you more information. And, you know, one last thing before we go to a couple questions. We talked last time about behavior change. We sat here and we talked about how do we make change? How do we really, as a group, own this? How do we at Kaiser own this? How do we go back and give that feedback? But also, we talked about change locally. So, you know, Dr. Williams, Dr. Wright, Joel, can you each give me a recommendation for some small changes our listeners might make to close this gap, maybe if it's in their home? And as a reminder to those of you at home, the goals for change are making it obvious, make it look good, make it easy, and make it satisfying, make it rewarding. So what's one thing that you guys could each kind of throw out there for those of us at home listening to think about how they might close that gap at home?
Make it obvious. Pick up your medication. If you got medication at home, check and make sure that it's not out of date.
Start having that conversation with your doctor. And it doesn't have to be, I know there's copays with some visits. You can make it a video visit. You can make it a telephone visit. Start having that conversation. These are the medications I have at home. How do I actually have to use them?
And to follow the medication regimen. When you're given a care plan, to stick with it, stick with the preventative medication. That's one of the biggest things you can do to keep that fire from growing.
All right, and I'll tell you guys one of my tricks right now because I'm, again, working on being a better patient myself. So in terms of make it satisfying, something as simple as making a check on my calendar every single day, I take that medication that's not my rescue but the actual one I'm supposed to be taking every day. So I make a mark every single day on my calendar to help me remember that I took it today, and it looks really good at the end of the month when that whole calendar is full.
And when you don't have to wake up in the middle of the night coughing.
Well, there's that too, but you know.
Another one, make it easy.
Uh-huh.
You have your inhaler, you use it twice a day, put it next to your toothbrush.
Oh.
Because you're going to rinse your mouth out after you use your inhaler anyway.
That's a good point. Okay. So all of you listening at home, I'm going to ask you for a commitment. For those of you listening, press 1 if you're going to make it obvious by refilling your medication and picking it up. Press 2 if you're going to make an appointment with your doctor to talk about your asthma or allergies. And press 3 if the obvious piece for you is quitting tobacco, so you're working on that prevention piece for your asthma.
That's a good one.
Again, so 1 for refilling that medication and picking it up. Not just refilling it, you got to pick it up. 2 for making an appointment to your doctor to talk about your asthma and allergies. Or 3 for quitting tobacco.
Quitting tobacco would help with it.
And I've got 53% of you saying that you're going to talk to make an appointment with your doctor. And the other 47% of you refilling medications and picking them up. And here's the cool part, everybody. In 2 months, we're going to be calling you to talk about really how do we join with our healthcare providers and really advocate for ourselves. And I will be able to tell you in real time if we close that gap. So in 2 months, I will be able to tell you if we've closed that 10% gap here in South Sacramento just by having 47% of you pick up your medications. So as we go to a live question, I also want to mention that I do see a lot of people asking questions about COVID. So before I go to the COVID question, anything special that we need to know, especially around asthma and COVID?
Okay, so the important thing for patients with asthma is the coronavirus is a respiratory virus.
Like coronavirus is COVID, right?
COVID, yes. I'm
okay.
Like the flu, information is changing daily. There's a lot of information out there. A lot of the information is false, but we understand that a lot of people are afraid. The reality is there are things that we can do to protect ourselves just like we can with the flu, especially during this cold and flu season. In the same ways that we tell you to prevent the flu and other illnesses, especially viral respiratory illnesses, make sure you're washing your hands daily, all the time. Make sure you get your flu shot. Make sure you take your medication every day like you're supposed to. Stay away from sick people, and if you have to cough or sneeze, make sure you cough or sneeze in your arm.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest thing is to make sure you're washing your hands and doing other preventative things like you would with any other respiratory virus.
Right. And so, again, that's where that taking that preventative inhaler is especially important just to kind of keep your lungs
healthy.
Okay, healthy.
Because just like any other viral respiratory infection,
right.
You are more susceptible to become sicker.
Okay.
Sure. And one of the things I do want to dovetail about washing your hands, very important to wash your hands because we have the tendency of touching our nose, touching our eyes, touching our mouth. Proper way of washing hands, warm water, soap, sing 2 courses of happy birthday.
That's Two courses of happy birthday?
Definitely the time you should wash your hands.
And if you really want to know more information about COVID or the coronavirus, you can always go to the CDC website. It has up-to-date more information that you probably are going to want to know, and it's changing every day.
Okay. So, again, for those of you who are taking an asthma medication, this is another great reason just to refill that medication.
Yes.
All right, excellent. So I got a couple just really good questions that I think are important. So Maxime has a great question around coughing. And I think that I had the same question, Maxime. So would you like to ask it?
Yes. Yeah. It was, When you had mentioned, or someone mentioned, if you're coughing or a cough is a sign indicating that something is wrong. So if you can elaborate a little bit more on that, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, so he was asking, you know, is it, if coughing at all, is it bad? You know, why?
Well, so the bottom line is cough happens for a reason. And there is, a cough could be from a cold. A cough can be from, you know, something else. And so the whole idea is if you are coughing and the coughing is lasting typically more than what a cold would give you, which is you're 3 weeks in and you're coughing, or the cough is making you gag, vomit, is making you make some, have some sounds like wheezing, that isn't normal. And so that's the when you want to go in and get it checked out. Even lung cancer, you know, a chronic cough. Mm-hmm. A cough can be for a lot. We shouldn't be coughing. Normally, we should not be coughing. So when something is lasting longer than it should, which a cold can last 7 to 10 days, and, it, and then the cough is gone. But if you're already 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and still coughing, you should get it checked.
Okay. Now, another question is about the inhaler itself. So, Rosa, go ahead. What's your question about the inhaler?
Well, my question was, I'm supposed to be using two puffs, you know, each day, and I'm not sure if I should be using, like, one puff and wait for a period of time before I take the second puff, or is it okay if I just go ahead and do the two puffs at the same time? Should there be a period of time I wait between the puffs?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, good question. You should wait anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes between puffs. So you want to take one puff and wait 2 to 5 minutes and then go ahead and take the second puff. My question I also have for you is, are you using a spacer with your medication? Because, again, you want to make sure that you get the majority of the medication into your lungs and not on your tongue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that is extremely helpful. And so my last question, and I think, again, I'm seeing it so often, I'm going to ask it because there's so many of you asking it, is sinus problems versus allergies. Mary, go ahead.
Yes. How do you determine sinus from allergies?
Yeah. So is it a sinus problem or is it something, is it allergies? So how do you figure that out?
Well, at least in pediatrics, I can tell you that a sinus infection is a complication of untreated allergies. So typically, if you have that congestion, the mucus basically accumulating in your sinuses long enough, eventually there's inflammation, which will cause a bad smell, maybe bad breath, maybe bad odor and headaches, and maybe even fevers. And that's when you worry. And typically, it's 2 or 3 weeks of persistent symptoms that at least before you have to think about a sinus infection.
Okay. And then
similar to adults.
One last question from Patricia, because I know a lot of you are probably wondering the same thing. Go ahead, Patricia.
Oh, I was asking if you were saying that asthma doesn't go away, and when I was a kid, I was told that I would outgrow asthma. I've never had an asthma attack, and I've never taken any medication for asthma, but as far as allergies go, you know, when the wind gets to blowing and it doesn't matter what I'm doing.
Yes, ma'am.
I try and stay inside or something, you know, but it's almost inevitable that you have to go out.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
Mainly,
so,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, so, I mean, that's a great question. You know, so do we outgrow asthma?
Asthma is a chronic condition that we do not outgrow. Now, what we tend to see is that children tend to improve with their asthma as they get older, but symptoms can resurface as adults. But we never get rid of asthma. It just sometimes gets controlled or it improves, but we never.
Well, and I think a lot of times that when we're kids, we learn good habits that keep our asthma in control. So we may not realize that some of our behaviors, even around maybe washing our hands after we touch an animal so we're not doing that danger, or, you know, taking a shower during allergy season after we've been outside, some of those things that we might, those changes that we made in our lifestyle kind of carry over that might actually help us manage both. Does that seem right?
Correct. 40% of what causes asthma are the residential allergens.
Residential allergens.
So the allergens that are in your home.
Ah, okay.
So like the dust mites.
My husband's cologne that I don't like.
The cologne, the gas stove.
Oh, okay.
The mold. Make sure you're changing your humidifier.
Okay.
Because of the water that can turn into mold. So things like that.
All right. Well, you know, I have to really thank all of you. And remember, press 7 if you'd like to come and listen to these wonderful experts talk more at our next group visit on March 10th. And thank you for joining us. A big thank you to Dr. Williams, Dr. Wright, and Joel Boyd. Your presence just has been huge. And I really want to remind all of you that if you have questions we didn't address tonight, you can follow up anytime with your primary care. If you have questions also around COVID, it is changing. And I think the CDC is probably the best place to get the most up-to-date information because they are constantly updating it. And again, if you're interested in learning more about our upcoming March 10th house call group visit, where we get more in-depth about this topic. I heard a rumor there might be some spacers there, you know, and talk about those triggers even in your home. Come and see our team in person next week and press 7 and we will send you more information.
It will be for adults and children.
All right, and I heard there's some good fun things, so please do come. And remember, you can get more information on kp.org, and all of these house calls are available on KP's South Sacramento website on the Health Resources homepage. For more generic non-personal questions, give us a call, 916-544-6220. Now go order those medications, pick them up, close this gap, and in 2 months, I really hope that we can report back to you that we are no longer 10% lower on refilling these medications in our African-American community here in South Sacramento.
Let's breathe safely.
Breathe safely. Have a good night.